experience based on these two petitions that he makes. The petition starts in verse 16, but before that, he says in verse 14, for this reason. And if you would read through the book, you notice chapter 3, verse 1, he'd said the very same thing, for this reason. Having described what God has been doing, he's going to pray. But in verse 2, he breaks off, and then he goes kind of a long aside to describe the mystery of the gospel and his knowledge about the mystery of the gospel. He takes a number of verses to do that. And the mystery of the gospel is that God has now included Gentiles with Jews in the one body of Christ. The mystery is that in Christ, the church has been born. And so Paul is describing that new entity and how he has knowledge about it. And so that's kind of what the aside has been. As we come back to verse 14, he comes back to, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth has been named. And so, for this reason, in light of what God is doing to bring about this new entity, I pray. I bow my knees before the Father. I get on my knees, which he's expressing a kind of humility and submission to God with his posture. And he prays to the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. In other words, he's praying to the one who's the creator of all, the one who named all, the creator of all, of every family in heaven and on earth. And so in verse 16, then he comes to his first petition, and that is for power in one's inner being, for power in one's inner being. He prays that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Strengthen there is a passive verb, and so the grammarians among us know that means something's acting on the subject there, right? They don't strengthen themselves. It's an act of God. God, out from outside, by his Spirit, he strengthens them. That is what Paul is praying. He's asking that the Spirit would strengthen them in their inner being. And the inner being is, you know, the heart, the mind, like the core of who they are. Paul uses a similar phrase in 2 Corinthians 4:16, this inner being phrase. I want to read that because I think it's helpful just to see it there. 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. A couple years ago, I started playing golf again, and been, you know, trying to get better and better and working on that. And a couple weeks ago, one of the guys I golf with was going to take a video of me. And it's just helpful to see your swing, you know, to maybe work on some things. So, okay, sure, he's going to take a video. And when I got ready to see that video, you know, I didn't think I probably looked like Xander Schauffele or Scott Scheffler or, you know, something like that. But I thought I probably looked pretty good, okay. And when I saw the swing, I was like, that is an old man with a really stiff swing. It's like, oh man, my outer self is wasting away. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. I do have some arthritis. My outer self is wasting away, as all of ours is. But we have an inner self. And the inner self, as it's renewed by the Spirit, it can become more vibrant, more alive, more beautiful, as God is at work in that space, and it can continue all of our lives. This is what Paul is praying for the Ephesians, power in one's inner spirit. And he prays this, he says, that God would do this according to the riches of his glory. In other words, God has this vast storehouse of resources, this unlimited storehouse of resources, and he's saying, according to that, strengthen them in their inner being. God, you have no lack in any way. God, strengthen them according to your vast resources in their inner being, with the result that Christ would dwell more deeply in them. That Christ would dwell more deeply in them. Verse 17, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, Paul's writing to believers. That's the primary group he's writing to in Ephesus, and so it may be sounds strange that he's praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. Doesn't Christ already dwell in their hearts? Why would he pray that Christ would dwell in their hearts? Christ does dwell in a believer's heart. The moment you trust him, he comes and takes up permanent residence in your heart. So what is Paul asking here? I believe he's praying that the Ephesians would have a deepening experience of the one who dwells within them. To dwell means to reside. It means to inhabit. It means to settle down. This week, our lead pastor, Andrew Johnston, his family, they got to town. They're actually in the first service this morning. It's kind of funny. He comes in with just shorts and a t-shirt. And I thought, he's going to bring a more casual vibe around here. And I found out his dress clothes are still in boxes, so that's why. But anyway, they bought a house. They're working on that right now, and they haven't moved in yet, but they're going to, you know, move in soon. After a number of days, they will move in. But I'm sure that even after they move in, they will still, you know, you'll put up wallpaper, or you'll paint something, or you'll build a different wall, or you'll take a wall down. I mean, you'll do something in the back patio. I mean, they will continue to work on that space to where it just fits them as a family. They will reside there. They will live there. They will make it their space. And I think Paul is saying a very similar thing. He's praying a very similar thing here for the Ephesians. He's seeking that they would have this deepening experience of the indwelling Christ such that he shapes the human heart, the space of a human heart, to where he's at home there in every way. He's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about transformation. He's talking about the work that Christ does in a heart such that he is dwelling there in full measure because it's his space. He's refined it. He's changed it. I think that's what he's praying for the Ephesians, that they would experience that kind of spiritual growth. He says that happens. He prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so it is an act of God. He's praying that the Spirit of God would empower them, that they would have this kind of strengthening. But he also says it's through faith we have a part. Faith, trust. He's talked about faith earlier in the book, right? In 2:8, for by grace you're saved through faith. Faith, it's an act of